Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, let's go out to the River Islands guest line. It is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. And brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Hello, Coach. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. We're glad to have you. I wonder, how quickly did you sort of feel like the two teams were not, you know, kind of vibrating at the same level in the first quarter of that game last night?
Three fouls in, which was approximately a minute and a half. And, that was an indication that we were not locked in mentally. All three fouls were, just not fouls that we would normally make.
I mean, I heard you say, and I know coaches do this, I didn't have them ready to play tonight. So it's one thing for you to kind of take that responsibility. Sometimes I wonder if that's even possible, though. These are adults, they're veterans. To what level is it on you or them to be ready emotionally?
It's always on us. That's the whole point of being a team. It's the whole point of coaching. You're a group. You're together, and you succeed together, you fail together, and so there's no blame. It's just we have to do it together as a team, and it's my job to help them prepare for that. So I'm very confident that we will be ready to go tomorrow night.
Do you do that purposefully, Coach, just to kind of take the pressure off the players? Because you mentioned it, it's on them, it's on you, it's on the collective. But when you come out and you say that, is that your way of kind of directing the responsibility and the burden on yourself?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do try to take the pressure off the players at times, with my comments to the media. But it's honestly how I feel too. I mean, as the coach, you can't go out and rebound and score and all that. But you can impact preparation, just both strategically but also emotionally, where everybody is. And so when you have a night like last night, it does feel lousy as a coach, like you failed. And so there's an element of truth to it too.
Steve, you had mentioned talking to Draymond at halftime about how hard to go after the win versus maybe get some rest. Can you take us through that conversation?
Yeah, sure. We're walking off the court at halftime. We're down 29. You can feel that it's a game that is highly unlikely to go our way. And Draymond and I know each other so well. I didn't even have to, express, you know, the question explicitly. All I said to him was, what do you think? And he knew exactly what I meant. And he said, 5 minutes. And I said, I think that makes sense too. And Terry Stotts and I had talked about it even before halftime started. You know, we debated, you know, do we send him out at all? You know, and we agreed it didn't make sense to pull them out at that point altogether. Like, let's give them a chance to, you know, make a little push. And but we're not messing around, because, you know, game six is 48 hours later. And at that point, it just becomes risk reward. And the obvious choice was to get them off the floor.
Well, and also because the game is in 48 hours, I wonder, like, getting a few extra minutes of rest that they got, how helpful is that for tomorrow night's game?
I think that was helpful, and then I think the other thing that was helpful was our bench forcing their starters back onto the floor. I thought that was important, and to play with that kind of aggression and to force some turnovers and to make them uncomfortable, because the first 30 minutes of that game were entirely too comfortable for Houston. So I loved what our guys did in the fourth quarter.
It was pretty fun, and it had me at home starting to look down the bench and think, man, what if this thing gets down to 10 or 11? It got to 13. Was there any thought, okay, if we get this thing to single digits, maybe you dust off the three vets and pop them back out there?
Highly unlikely, you know, at that point, that you go back to your starters. You saw what their starters looked like when Ime had to go back to them. Like, literally both sets of starters had checked out emotionally, and it's so hard to come back into a game when you've basically checked out emotionally. And so my experience has always been you let the bench ride it out, see if they can get it done. I do remember one game in the 22 West Finals in Dallas. We were up 3-0, and we were down 20 or so going into the fourth, and our bench completely shifted things. I think we got it down to 6 or 7 points. And I believe I did bring Steph back for a couple of possessions. And Dallas pulled away. It wasn't, you know, wasn't meant to be. But those are very difficult situations to be in as a coach, because you worry about bringing guys back onto the floor after they've already checked out.
Is part of that, too, a nod to the bench crew for getting out there and doing some fantastic things? Is that part of the calculus as well, as trying to give them,
for sure,
yeah, give them a little, yeah, boost, and, you know, the Spencer and the TJD unit?
Yeah, for sure. They've earned it. And they were playing great, and you let them ride. In the regular season, it's a no-brainer. You let them finish the game no matter what. But in the playoffs, you do have to kind of think briefly, you know, does it make sense to bring, you know, Steph and Dre and Jimmy back here? But we never got it down far enough to seriously think about that.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Do you think that the three-pointers that Moses Moody hit during that stretch might kind of get something going, since he's been struggling with that shot?
I do. I loved his aggressiveness in the second half. And, you know, the way they're guarding him with their centers, it's changed the nature of the series. Just lineup combinations, matchups. You know, it takes Draymond Green out of the pick and roll, you know, and puts whoever, you know, Şengün is guarding generally, or Adams, into the pick and roll. So, so that's the reason for, you know, the change in the starting lineup the last couple of games. And it's been effective. I think, you know, offensively, we have definitely generated better shots. Each of the last two games, we have started out pretty well offensively. Last night, as I mentioned, whole problem was our defense and our fouling, and we were out of sorts from the beginning. And, you know, at the first time out, I mean, I took the first time out, it was 20-8. And that was all defensive related, not so much offense.
So, Coach, do we take from that that the starting lineup stays the same for tomorrow night with Buddy Hield?
I think all options are on the table for sure. And I think we will consider everything. You know, there's always an offense-defense component to any of these decisions that you make. And as I said, lineup combinations, what's coming behind the play, you know, behind the first rotation, who's playing together. So we're leaving our options open.
And one of the options may or may not include Jonathan Kuminga, depending on how he's feeling. So how's he feeling after having missed the game yesterday with the migraine?
Yeah, he's feeling a lot better. I talked to him today, and so he should be ready to go tomorrow. And there's absolutely a chance for him to make an impact, tomorrow. I thought he did a good job. The game he started, I think it was game three, when Jimmy was out, he did a really nice job guarding Jalen Green early. Clearly, we can use, his athleticism, his ability to get to the rim. Again, it's all lineup combinations, and what makes this tricky, as I've said many times to you guys and to others, it's all about the combinations, and we've got to find the right balance of shooting and playmaking around Jimmy, and that's what changed, the calculus for JK, so those are the things we're continuing to weigh. But he's absolutely, part of, our thinking in terms of, possible adjustments for tomorrow.
Steve, this is a little bit of an offshoot, but do Jonathan and maybe any of your other guys, do they deal with migraines off and on? I've dealt with that. If I'm correct, you've dealt with that some in your life, right? Is that something that some of your guys have to deal with sometimes?
I believe it was the first one that Jonathan's ever had.
Huh.
That's what our training staff said, yeah.
Interesting.
That's brutal. And,
yeah.
My partner here will suffer through him, and sometimes he can't even open his eyes when he's going through it, let alone go out there and give you 34 minutes and maybe a double-double.
Yeah, they run in my family, and I've had migraines since I was a teenager, and they're not fun, let me tell you. I mean, if you've had one, you know it, if you're listening out there, so... I felt terrible for JK yesterday, but hopefully this is just a one-time deal.
Steve Kerr with us on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibbs. All right, Coach, I know it's a hot-button thing that you addressed last night. So did Draymond, so did Steph, and I don't want you to put you in any sort of a position to call any individual player out. But I wonder, what in your mind... What is the line in playoff basketball between playing hard and physicality and gamesmanship versus just the concept of, I know someone's got an injury there and I want to go after that injury?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. And what I said last night after the game was from my heart. I believe that this is the highest level of competition, and I think, these are the best players in the world, and they are going to do whatever is within the rules to win the game, and I'm not going to fault anybody for that. And so I just feel strongly that the league has gone down this path the last couple of years where they've decided that they call it the high five, where if you high five a shooter, that's legal. Like, meaning if the ball is released and then you high five the guy, that's not a foul. Now, anybody who's ever played pickup basketball will tell you, you get high fived on a shot, it's really hard to make a shot. And so I can tell you all 30 coaches, as I said, we all believe that should be a foul if you high five a guy. The league decided that it was not. And what happened then was the same thing that happens with every rule that the league institutes. The players figure out how to game the system. And so all of this year, you've had guys all over the league, including our guys. Draymond does it all the time. Guy releases the shot. You're not allowed to run into him. Like the Zaza rule when Kawhi stepped on his ankle, sprained his ankle. Like, that's a flagrant foul, right? You can't run into the body. You can't step underneath the shooter. But because the league has decided you're allowed to smack the guy with a high five or hit him on the wrist after the release, guys are just hammering shooters. And this is it's the bane of our existence as coaches. We all complain about it constantly. It's nuts. And I have no doubt that it will be changed this summer. But it has to go through this whole, you know, rigmarole, this red tape and competition committee. And we got to vote on it. And it'll get changed. But in the meantime, you're going to have guys just taking shots at shooters constantly and trying to whack them on the arm.
And it's got all of us combing the rule book for the nuance in there. And it's tough for the refs to really figure it out because incidental contact is allowed, but egregious or excessive is not allowed. So you as a coach, what can you do to plant that seed with the crews in the league in the meantime while you're waiting for the rule to be changed?
Oh, I've been doing it all year. I've been telling the league this is what's happening. Guys are going to get hurt. They're getting hit on the arm. And, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to break a thumb, whatever. And so we've talked about it with the league. Lots of the coaches have. Again, it's impossible to put it on the refs and say, hey, you know, this is egregious and this is not. I think what you're going to see in the future is just like you're not allowed to run into a guy in his body after the release. You know, that's a foul under the current rules. I think what we'll get to eventually is you're just not allowed to hit a guy on the arm, which, by the way, is complete common sense and should have been done a long time ago.
Steve, I want to ask you a couple questions about, like, this specific emotional moment for your team. First off, the little dust-up that happened there with Pat Spencer and TJD seemed to really get a reaction out of your starters who were overall over there on the bench. In any way, did that kind of galvanize the guys or make it an easier flight home last night?
I just think the starters, the guys on the bench, loved what the reserves showed. You know, the competitive desire, the not backing down. You know, they see everything that's going on. Houston's a very physical team, and so to see our guys you know, play physical style and make a run and make Houston uncomfortable, I thought it was uplifting for the group, for sure.
And then also, this series is mirroring the series that you guys had against Memphis 3 years ago, and specifically the idea of being up 3-1 and then going on the road and losing a game badly. What did you do in that moment? What did you say to your guys? And is there anything you can draw on from that you're using in this series?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Not really. I didn't reference that series. I just know that, you know, over the course of our time, our current run, you know, my 11 years, and I imagine even going back a couple more years when Mark Jackson was coaching, I think we've had a lot of situations just like this where you go up 3-1, you know, you come home and you've got a game and, you know, you want to win. You want to take care of business, but it's stressful, it's dicey, and get in line. This is, you know, welcome to the NBA playoffs. And this is the whole deal. This is what we sign up for. This is what the playoffs are about. And you see it in every other series too. And so we're in the exact spot that we wanted to be in when this series started. You know, we're a 7 seed playing a 2 seed, and you know, to be up 3-2 going into, you know, game 6 is where we want to be. But now it's up to us to finish it, and we know we're going to have to play at a high level to get that done.
And it's also up to us, Steve, to do exactly what we did in game 4. I was in the press row, so there wasn't much cheering from your guy, the Dibber, but how much was that home crowd a factor in what turned out to be an unbelievable atmosphere and a huge win for you guys in game 4?
Yeah, our crowd, it was awesome. Just an amazing crowd that night. And it's such a big part of the playoffs. You see it, you know, around the league, just the momentum, the force that comes from playing at home and the crowd. And it's exciting. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be a really, really competitive, feisty game. And again, this is kind of what we're all here for. We love what we do, and is what it's about.
Yeah, Raymond Ritter wanted me to remind you that it's a 6 o'clock game, just to make sure that you get there in enough time to be ready to go.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah. That's what I do, Steve.
Make sure you're in your seat, Steve, on time and ready to go. How's Jimmy doing physically?
He's good. Yeah, he's ready to go. He was in our walkthrough today and film session and moving around well, and I think he's feeling a lot better.
I wondered, like, does the healing process continue with these days, or does it get slowed because he goes out there and starts banging around again?
You know, he's as tough as they come. I haven't even talked to him about it, frankly. I talked to him yesterday during the day before the game. But I haven't talked to him since about any of that. Training staff monitors all that. Jimmy will be ready to go tomorrow.
And I'm just thinking about, you know, last night and the way the starters were able to just rest and relax. And that's kind of what happened in 2022 against Memphis as well. How much of that do you think really plays when you only play 20 minutes as opposed to playing full minutes? Do you really get that much of a rest benefit?
Yes. Yeah. That's it's a big difference for sure, especially, you know, given the age of Steph, Dre, Jimmy. Playing 25 instead of 40 is a huge difference.
Coach, any reaction? I know you're focused solely on tomorrow night, but we always talk a little bit around the league. Are you a little eyebrows up that the Lakers were ousted in 5?
I'm eyebrows up on everything. I mean, I love watching this stuff, you know, and I just think, especially in the West, every first round series was so intriguing. Just knowing how good the whole conference is. Obviously, OKC, you know, had a pretty quick one with Memphis, but man, the other 3 series have all just been so highly competitive. And Minnesota is loaded. I mean, they made the conference finals last year. They are really, really talented, played a great series, and they've earned it. So we're hoping we can join them.
Yeah, and Denver Clippers tonight, game 6. What's for dinner, and where are you going to watch the game?
That's a good question. I'm driving home right now from our walkthrough, and I will be on my couch with my dog, and the game will be on. I will not be cooking tonight. Tonight might be a DoorDash night for us.
Yeah.
Nice.
You've earned it,
yeah,
Steve.
Come on.
You can hear it. Yeah. You can hear in your voice that tonight's a DoorDash night.
Yes, you know it.
All right. All right. We'll go enjoy it, and we'll see you out there at the arena tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
You too. There it is.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. And we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.